America's Cannabis Conversation. Heard every Saturday at 4:20 p.m. online at americascannabisconversation.com. We're part of the W420 Radio Network, and each week we provide you with information, education, and insight into the exploding medical and recreational cannabis industry. You'll hear from industry leaders, elected officials, local experts, detractors, and more. Learn how to build your own cannabis business, how to grow the product, what's legal, and where it's legal. Tune in each week to hear updates from the National Cannabis Industry Association in Washington, tips on investing in cannabis markets, personal success stories, and more. It's now time to join America's Cannabis Conversation.
Hello, W420 Radio Network. It's Nancy Birnbaum, publisher with Sensi Magazine here in California. And I wanted to wish all of you folks over at W420 Radio Network a happy 2 years of great content. Happy anniversary. You do such great interviews. It was so good to see you doing interviews of women in cannabis. I love that. Keep that up. Let's make sure we help educate all of our community with all these great interviews, and looking forward to what's next. Happy anniversary. You guys are rocking it. Keep it up.
Time now for the lowdown on another high time experience. Here's 420 lifestyle correspondent Rich Walkoff.
Well, if you're living in one of the 36 states which has legal marijuana, or one of the 16 states that permits growing and adult use for any reason, my friends, you are enjoying the herb thanks in great measure to one Mr. Wayne Justman, longtime activist for social justice, AIDS, LGBTQ rights, who received the very first legal medical marijuana card in the U.S. just about 20 years ago. Welcome to America's Cannabis Conversation, Wayne. Awesome.
Card's right there. Hey, it is such a pleasure to welcome you and friends here into my home here in San Francisco. I'm so delighted of your interest in this plant and us educating what we've been through, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, I've been there for a few.
But yeah. Well, you're numero uno. So what did it mean, and how significant was it? And we look in retrospect, maybe there wouldn't be the cannabis acceptance as we know it today without what you and your friends did 20-some-odd years ago.
If you can recall, the feds were all over our ass. They were harassing doctors for writing anything. Now, there was not a prescription. You didn't have something that you could take to Walgreens or CVS and say, this is prescribed for me. No, a doctor's written oral or written recommendation was all they needed. And when they came in and raided us at 1444 Market Street, the Cannabis Buyers Club, they took all of those records. Therefore, all of the doctors' names, their addresses that we've used are now available. And so now they want to harass the doctors. They couldn't get to the cultivators yet, now talking 25 years ago, because they were not expertise in Humboldt, Trinity, all of those counties that are growing our cannabis. They didn't have that. So what do they want to do? Oh, we'll harass the patients by raiding your dispensaries, and we're going to harass the doctors who write these things out. Our government does very well harassment, and that's what the hell they started to do.
Now, how did you beat the system?
We were fortunate, Rich. We were fortunate in a couple of regards. One, the political system in San Francisco was so ripe at that time. And the reason why I want to say that, the AIDS epidemic was just getting a grip in the 90s. I don't know anybody that did not know somebody that had the virus. You know, let me just, that had the virus. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody that didn't have the virus. You went to classes with them. You rode them on the bus. You worked with the same office. They went to the same synagogue as you did. You knew somebody. And in those days, what the hell is the Department of Public Health going to do about it? And what the hell are the Board of Supervisors going to do about it? And the fortunate thing, in those days, we had people who were understanding. As we said before, Willie Brown was very, very receptive to medical cannabis. And as I said before, and I'll say it again, the only thing Willie suggested is, Wayne, don't dirty me up. And I said, that's my boy, Willie. That's a good politician. Just sounded like Richard J. Daley in years ago when I was in Chicago with Richard. And so with that, and then also too, we can't give enough respect to Terrence Hallinan, our district attorney. He was a chief law enforcement official in the city and county of San Francisco. He could have cut us off immediately. Not in my town, not in my county. He did not. He was very, very supportive of. As a matter of fact, he helped. He was over at the dentist's a number of times, and with me a number of times. There's photos, et cetera, et cetera. I'm blessed that man was there. Then we had a board of supervisors. Chris Daly, Tom Amiano, Angela Aliota were very understanding of cannabis at that time. And then, of course, Mitch Katz was the Department of Public Health. And all the stars rode up. I could go on and on. That everybody was there for us. We didn't have an obstacle to overcome, even law enforcement.
So that made San Francisco the epicenter of the medical marijuana movement, which in 2000 became the reality. Well, actually in 1996, right? Prop 215.
Prop 215 passed in November 1996. We had to do something. That was one of the things that I was asking people. What are you going to do about it? We got people that are sick and dying. The AIDS epidemic, you remember that stuff. And like I said, everybody knew some, but you got to do something about it. Now, we were realizing, as Dennis Perone did, that, you know, those of us that are using cannabis find some type of relief. Now, of course, we understand the boogeyman all about cannabis and don't do that and don't do that. And what does our government want to do? Oh, we got Marinol. Oh, let's get some artificial stuff that, okay, fine. So a good soldier like me that needs it, I take the Marinol. Well, I'm sick the next day from that stuff. My stomach is upset. Now, what are you supposed to do? You know, the AZT and the Zerit that we were taking were the only things in 1987 when I got the virus that you had. We didn't have cocktails or something like that. And at that time, with many other people, is the medicine going to kill us? Or will the virus kill us? And I'll tell you something, friend. That was a concern of ours. And then in rode Dennis and the opening up of cannabis and dispensaries here in San Francisco. And it just was like a domino. One slowly fell after the other after the other.
And that's how you got the moniker, the Godfather of Weed, huh?
I was telling to someone today, I'm the elder statesman of this movement because Bronnie Mary is gone and Dennis is gone and Jack Hare was gone and a lot of the people that were they're gone. But I was one that pushed the table a little bit. Yeah. When you ask about the card program, people thought I was crazy. All I'm saying, Jesus, they're after our doctors. They've already raided our dispensaries. Is there a way that we can protect the patient? And at that time, there was no recreational cannabis. We needed to protect the patient. I said, Jesus, I don't know. I mean, and I was opening up my own dispensary, and there was Champ and a few other things. And, Wayne's Pot Shop. You know, he'll give you a thing on ID so you can get into my pot shop.
This is pre-215, pre-Prop 215.
No, this is just after.
Okay.
Just after.
But you had a dispensary before it was all legal, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We had to. The Island Bar... that we had at Dennis's and then 184 Church Street that we moved to, we had to. And that's where these cultivators had an opportunity to bring in their product. But also, too, where could you go? Oh, Dolores Park? The Tenderloin? Where are you going to go to get your cannabis? Many of us are sick. What are you doing? Is forcing females out there to get your cannabis, and you've got to take every risk of going into the hate or some other area that's a little jeopardized, and you have to take that risk? No. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. So we've already established that credibility, and then I'm thinking, how the hell do we protect the patient? And I said, the only thing that I think that we can do is get some legality to that patient, et cetera, et cetera. So... and again, everybody was in thing. I said, Willie, I need to go to the public health department. Terrence, I need to go to, go. Mitch Katz was there. And I said, all I want the public health department to do, put your name on a card.
So the stars were aligned and you, one of the founding fathers, I'm going to put you on Mount Rushmore. Okay. Get a good rush.
High on Rushmore.
Yeah, right.
High on it.
And how about Kamala Harris's role? Kamala Harris, our new vice president, and you were on a committee back a couple of decades ago that was looking to advance the cause?
Yeah, I showed you a photo here that I have of what's called her advisory group. And what it was a number of us at that time, 2003, who were involved in the cannabis movement. And she's coming in after Terrence Hallinan was defeated. And of course, Terrence was our right-hand man. You couldn't ask for a better guy as our district attorney to help us. And he did. So in comes Kamala. And I remember meeting Kamala for the first time on a cafe up on in Hayes Valley, sitting across from her, and I, Kamala, we can't support you. There's no way in hell we can support you. Here's Terrence, he's been all of these years, and Masha does too.
Running for district attorney.
She's running for district attorney against Terrence. And I said, but here's what we won't do, we won't hurt you. You know, I'm not going to do it to you up, or, you know, yada, 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 yada. Well, eventually she won, you know, and then she contacted me, and she wanted to do a, I said, well, let's set up a committee and we'll come in and advise you. She did, and as I showed you a photo. Let me tell you something that's kind of funny about this. This is funny. So after the first day I get down there to participate in this meeting, there's a greeting area, and I come up, and there are two women. I said, Wayne Justman to see Kamala Harris, okay? And I'm waiting for the door to buzz. I don't hear the buzz. I'm kind of looking around. They said, "Well, there's a waiting room." I said, "There's a waiting room?" And all the time that Terrence was the district attorney, and I went down there, they just buzzed the door, and I'm in. You know, anyway. But yeah, Kamala is. I'm not sure about where she and Joe Biden are going to go with this. I don't know if they have a choice.
Well, the groundswell is growing. The acceptance is growing, and even worldwide. I mean, you look at your impact not only on San Francisco and all the patients for AIDS and those who are very sick who needed it as medicine, but look at the burgeoning industry, and you look at your role in that. I mean, what does it do to you?
It humbles me. I'm a patient. People say, well, how'd you get involved in this? Well, I first smoked it when I was teaching and coaching in Chicago, Illinois. I smoked it out of a bong. I don't roll very well, so I smoked it out of a bong. And I remember enjoying it very, very much, and I don't understand what all the conniption is about. And then someone who was in education at that time, and I thought, you know, I better look at this a little bit, et cetera, because I'm telling my athletes at those times, and hey, don't use this, don't do this, don't do this, and I'm working on cannabis and the like. And I didn't, and when I used cannabis, I kept it as low profile as I could. Sooner or later, some folks found out, but okay, big deal. But I just wasn't destructive. And as I found out that the gimmicks that our government made in the 20s and the 30s to demonize this very, very simple plant. And here I am many, many years later, and I don't know how quickly the world will catch up or our society catch up on this being a very medicinal plant that has many valuable uses to the human body.
You had a phrase that all marijuana use
all
is
use
medicinal.
Is yeah, all use of cannabis is medical. Even the thing with it is that if you and I want to go to Napa and have a glass of wine, et cetera, to relax a little bit, that's fine. Well, let's you and I stay here in San Francisco and smoke a joint and relax a little bit. That's how I interpret this. We're not out destroying property. We're not out subterfuging society. We're enjoying the use of a medicinal plant.
Right. No harm, no foul. And I think there's a burgeoning energy to advance that cause, that you're no longer fighting the uphill battle. I think we've turned the corner.
That battle with the government has been over. We just need to teach not only the deniers, but those that are not educated enough about this. A governor in one of the Midwestern states, legislature had passed cannabis, and oh no, he had to veto the whole thing. And in other words, destroy the will of the people. And for what? I still miss all that. Why? Yeah. Why are we beating up on this cannabis plant? Why?
Well, it threatens some pharmaceutical alcohol industries and the like.
Oh,
and if you touch money, you
mean those profits? And also, too, I was online this morning about all of these corporations, 28 that don't pay taxes. So all you folks listening to this, you run and pay your state and federal tax because others aren't doing it.
Yeah. Hey, Wayne, great catching up with you. You look awesome. I'm glad that you have achieved as much as you've achieved. And what's on the horizon? You just living the chill life now? Or are you still an activist and
no,
an advocate?
I'll be going over to the Castro Castle this afternoon. That's Dennis Perone's home. We'll visit with them. I do some advising. People will call me and say, listen, Wayne, can I use your name or can we have some advice on some things that moving forward? The problem right now that I'm seeing is over in Los Angeles, and I'm working with some people down there, 2.5 years for an equity program. That's crazy. That's just ridiculously crazy. And up here, over a year to get your permitting as far as if you're trying to get distribution or having a cannabis cultivator situation or even a dispensary, much too long.
Yeah.
So this legalization stuff, folks were anxious, like, let's legalize it. But they didn't realize at what cost
we
do it.
And now that's still being worked on in a big way.
Yeah, 64, I think, paralyzed us a lot. The fortunate thing, I was just talking with some people this morning before you got here that are trying to undo 64. Now, it's going to take another proposition because it was a proposition, but they're trying to undo it and challenge some of these aspects in court. It's going to, you know, what a mess.
One of the pioneers of the activist movement for marijuana and the AIDS epidemic and LGBTQ community and the like, you've been awesome. Wayne Justman on the W420 Radio Network. For more, if you want to hear this again, go to W420RadioNetwork.com and check out the archive. Rich Walkoff on the W420 Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Are you interested in learning more about cannabis? Have you thought about starting your own cannabis business but don't know how? If so, we invite you to join the cannabis conversation with other people like you who are looking at the exciting opportunities in this exploding business. Listen to America's Cannabis Conversation. You'll hear from industry experts and get insights into the cannabis industry. For archived shows and for more information, log on to americascannabisconversation.com. It's time for Women in Cannabis on America's Cannabis Conversation, part of the W420 Radio Network.
Didn't you get the memo?
Here's Chase Roberts.
Welcome back to the conversation. This is Chase Roberts, Women in Cannabis correspondent for the W420 Radio Network. It's a pleasure to introduce to you today Eliza Maroney. She is the co-founder of Lucky Box Club. Lucky Box Club is the oldest fully licensed, continually run cannabis subscription box company in California. She was also named as one of Sacramento's top 5 women to watch and listed in Green Market Report's top 100 plus women in cannabis for 2019 and 2020. Eliza, welcome. Thanks for being here. How are you?
I am amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, it's a pleasure. So let's start with your history. Where are you from, Eliza?
I was born and raised in San Francisco, but I am Brazilian by heritage. My mom is Brazilian, and so I'm first generation American. And really, I just had a really wonderful upbringing of being able to be in San Francisco and spend all of my summers in Brazil. So I have the best of both worlds in philosophy and traditions and language, et cetera.
Absolutely. That's an envied life for sure. And I wanted to ask you, what were your personal experiences with cannabis that led for you to co-found this company?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So for me, growing up in San Francisco, you just have too much access to drugs and medicine, et cetera, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. And so for me, I really struggled throughout my teenage years with depression, with anxiety, and I kind of found myself on a darker path. And I'm really a huge advocate for letting people know that like cannabis is the exit drug. It was pretty hilarious how I tried almost every drug under the sun before I tried cannabis, before I tried weed. And really what kept me from it was just this fear of the smell, fear of the stoner, stereotypes, et cetera. And later, when I was in my early 20s and when I met my now husband, he just kind of, it's like, listen, you need to try this. Like, you just need to take a bong rip.
Love it.
took a bong rip and I never looked back, honestly. It allowed for me to feel such freedom, yet to feel grounded in myself. It gave me a sense of relaxation. It also is just such a beautiful plant. And he was a cultivator. He's been cultivating now for over 20 years. So we just, you know, I got to really get to know the plant from seed to smoke, exploring and really just immersing myself in this incredible plant medicine.
It's funny you mentioned, you know, in San Francisco, I live in San Francisco and there is everything out there, but it's really funny because especially now weed is even more pervasive than it ever was. There's times I walk down the street and I could smell someone smoking out and I don't even know where they are.
That's awesome. You know, I'd rather it be that than, you know, I mean, I remember my middle and high school days of girls like literally doing coke in the bathrooms, you know, and it's just like, we're like 13, you know, I didn't start then,
you're but crazy.
I mean, really these girls would find it at their parents' houses or in their parents' drawers and grab it. And it was just such a different reality from what I was raised with. But because of all of my other issues of having anxiety and having this sense of unworthiness, I was looking for it in all the wrong places, you know? And so I'm really proud that I was able to really overcome any addiction and issues that I had with cannabis.
Amazing. Amazing. And you know what? Let's tell our listeners, why don't you go ahead and tell them exactly what Lucky Box Club is?
Yes, absolutely. So Lucky Box Club is a cannabis subscription box service. We go out there and look for the most unique and the best made and grown products that exist out in the market. We're also always on the hunt for really unique products that you can't just find anywhere. So we look for craft cultivated products and kind of bring them to your doorstep, literally. We are a licensed delivery service. And so we're retailers, but one thing people always say about our menu is that it's very unique and it has just amazing products that they're really hard to find. You go to most dispensaries, they all pretty much have the same things. They have the same brands. It's the brands that have the money to kind of pay to have that placement. Whereas we like to work with, producers that, may need a platform and really are worthy of your time and your energy and of your consumption. Honestly.
So other people don't have to, if you're getting lost in, you know, all the brands, all the names, et cetera, you're curating it, making it simple, free delivery straight to people's homes, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And you know, what's wonderful about our subscription service is that lots of subscription boxes will have like, you know, this is the January box of the month or whatever, or February or whatever. Right. And for us, when you are a subscriber, this is your box of the month. This is your bundle. It's completely curated according to your preferences, according to your lifestyle. My membership manager and coordinator, he is amazing. He really takes his time to get to know every single one of our members and to kind of get into their minds and see what might enhance their life if they don't even know exists yet. And so that's kind of the magic of it, you know, and we always say there's magic in the box because they're like, I had no idea that this even existed. Well, that's the whole point. And of course, we are a standalone delivery service. So when you find products that you're in love with, it's still available on the menu and then you can go ahead and reorder at any time.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I noticed you have about now you have 160 something offerings. Do you want to mention any of the brands you carry right now?
You know, a few of the brands that I think that are really worthy of mentioning are brands that not too many people may have heard of, like Hello Again Suppositories. I just got back from a retreat that I was hosting, a goddess retreat, and they are vaginal suppositories that are just changing women's lives. They offer relief from menopause symptoms, cramping. We had one lady that was saying she felt like she was getting a yeast infection, and actually she used a suppository and the symptoms were gone the next morning. So just like incredible, incredible relaxation and kind of a nice body high. I also love Sokka, House of Sokka's wines. Their sparkling is amazing. Proof has now come out with a sister brand called Super Wow, and Super Wow tinctures, their peppermint tincture, it's called Twisted Peppermint. It's 1,000 milligrams and it is so perfect for making mocktails. So all winter long, we were offering like peppermint hot chocolates. And, you know, teaching people different recipes and ways to use tinctures instead of just the squirt under your tongue. And, you know, I think for flowers and whatnot, I'm really in love with Fume out of Napa. And yeah, I mean, just so many great products, you know. Absolutely. Talk to me and I'll tell you everything. I cannot get over Proof's products as well. Like, it's really hard to find really great high CBD products. Garden Society, of course, is always one of our top-notch women-owned and women-led brands. And they're just super, super consistent. So yeah, I mean, you tell me what you want and I can tell you what I love.
And how would our listeners, what is your website so they know, so they could go take a look, see if they're interested?
Yes, it's www.luckyboxclub.com. So LBC, Lucky Box Club, that's who we are. You can find us on Instagram. And if you're interested in following my own Instagram, it's Lady Lucky Box and the Cannabis Yogi.
Yeah. And you guys also have a blog. Who is responsible for that? Is that you or your husband?
It's myself and my right-hand woman, Jay. And Jay is just this amazing woman. And she knows how to really, like, I don't know. She's gifted with words. That's all I can say. You know, she's quite the wordsmith.
Love that. Yeah. And you also have other endeavors. What are some of the other things you're working on? Because they seem to all go hand in hand. All your businesses seem to complement each other well.
They do. Yeah. I'm really blessed in the way that, like, my whole life really is just revolving around wellness, health and wellness in general. So I am also known as the Cannabis Yogi. It's a name that was given to me by Leafly a couple of years ago when I first launched my classes called Bend and Blaze. So I am a certified yoga instructor. I'm also a wellness and life coach. And so the Cannabis Yogi really is a platform that is for people who are interested in going a little bit deeper in their wellness journey. I offer medicated and non-medicated yoga classes. I also host retreats. As I had said, I just finished up one of my first international goddess retreat in Mexico.
Congratulations. And by the way, listeners, she's in Mexico right now.
I am. I'm living my best life. You know, I really wanted to work while I was here because I do love being productive, and it feels like such a privilege, you know, to be able to kind of just to soak everything in, but also to be productive and to use kind of the extra energetic space and bandwidth to really focus on my projects. And I have two more retreats coming up this year. I have one that'll be in California in May. And then another one that's going to be announced very soon, that'll be towards the end of the year.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
And you've been with Lucky Box Company for 7 years.
Yeah. So we came up with the concept in 2016, 2017, really started getting things together. And that's pretty much when Prop 64 was coming around. Right. And so it's been a long process from concept to actually getting licensing and being fully operational. But it's the journey has been worth it. That's all I can say.
Yeah. And I think, people should know your offerings are everything from, you know, like clothing to, you know, edibles, what have you. You really hit everything, every kind of merchandise that's out there, basically.
Yeah. I mean, just whatever, however you want to consume cannabis, or if you don't want to consume it and maybe you just want to, you slather it on, as I say, you know, we've got something for everyone. And that's something that I really like to draw attention to. Not every product is for every body. Like, our bodies are all, like, chemically made differently. We all have different trauma and different issues that we're all dealing with. Yeah. So really having an informed guide to kind of be your advocate and kind of show you the way is really what's best, unless you are a very, very seasoned cannabis user, because I've heard all of the stories, the horror stories we all have, you know, the brownie in college or the cookies at a party, or you know, they smoked and it hurt their lungs too much or whatever. And it's just like, that doesn't have to be your story.
No. So, and the more that cannabis becomes mainstream, I know people that are new to it are generally really confused. It's daunting. It's like people don't know what is for what. People are still confused about over some of the basics, like THC versus, you know, CBD versus sativa.
Yes, CHCA, all the cannabinoids, all of the terpene profiles. Yes, I mean, it's just one of those things, like you wouldn't go into a pharmacy and tell them what you're ordering, right? You have a doctor that writes you a prescription, and then they know what they should be serving you. And I think that it should be somewhat similar. Like you should at least have a consult, which is why we offer free consultations to anyone that calls in. So we love to really serve our customers. We are here to be their best advocate and to work for them. If we don't carry a product that we really believe is going to serve them, we either procure it or we send them to someone who has it. This is not just about the bottom line. We have partners that are other retailers that within our area in Sacramento and the Bay Area. And this is not a race just to get people's money. This really is about making sure that people are having the right experiences with their cannabis.
Okay. I think that's so important. People hear that message. You know, a lot of people are just coming to the industry because it's booming, trying to get in and get out, make a quick buck. So that's very good to know. And what is next for you guys? I think you guys are number one in California for box delivery. Can you expand that? Are you going to start expanding that? Is that possible for you guys?
So what's next for us is we are in a fundraising round right now. So we are doing some fundraising and looking at what it's going to take for us to kind of go the next level. Right now we are currently only operating in Northern California. So we need to expand to Southern California, and then we'll look beyond and, you know, looking for the right partners. So that's what we are attracting and focusing on right now.
Love it. And, you know, this is the women in cannabis segment. Do you have any advice to women out there that are trying to get in this space or maybe in this space and having a hard time? Is there anything you can offer?
Yes, I do. You know, I think my advice is really two parts. The first is don't be discouraged, right? A lot of times we kind of go into a little, to networking sessions or mixers and whatnot, and not all of us are really made for that. So what I always say is like, continue to show up and find people that you resonate with, and don't allow yourself to like kind of be pushed to the side. Really show up and show up with a willingness to learn, because there's a lot to learn. Even myself, I've been in this industry for 7 years now, going on 8 years, and I still have a lot to learn. And the second part is to find a mentor. I think that having other women that are smarter than you, that know more, that have already found success in ways that you are seeking success, we all really want each other to win. And that's one thing that I love about the women in cannabis kind of scene.
So many impressive, great women in the industry who also have other businesses that are just stellar. It's really inspiring. So, is there someone who inspires you that you can think of in the industry or just in general?
Oh my gosh. I mean, the first name that even came to mind was Erin Gore. I mean, Erin is just, she's the epitome of what it should be to really be a leader within an industry. She leads from a place of kindness, but she also is a badass. She like freely and willingly gives her like knowledge to those in her inner circle, because she's like, if I can do it, you can do it. And we're just going to do this together, and we're going to rise up. And that is what I stand for. That's what I believe in. And if you don't know where to start, I always say like, just reach out, like slide into our DMs, just say who you are. And even if we can't help you at that moment, there may be a very like high chance that we can introduce you to someone else, or to a chapter of Women Grow, or another, you know, kind of facilitator that knows of a circle that you should be part of. You know, that's really what it's about. This
community I have found are very open, and there's a saying, empowered women empower women. Mm-hmm. And I find that really true of this space. Unfortunately, our time is running out, Eliza, and you got to go get some sunshine in Mexico. please once again, remind our listeners, what are your socials, where they can find you, or what do you have?
Absolutely. So you can follow Lucky Box Club. It's just at Lucky Box Club with a little underscore at the end of it. My personal Instagrams are at Lady Lucky Box. And if you're more interested in the wellness or any of my retreats in the future, it's at The Cannabis Yogi. Be sure to check out luckyboxclub.com or reach out anytime. It really is such a pleasure to be on here. And thank you so much for the opportunity.
Eliza, thank you for being here. If you missed any of this great interview with Eliza Moroney, you can go to W420RadioNetwork.com and click on the archive section to listen to this and other great interviews. And we'll be right back.
America's newest and fastest growing cannabis-focused radio network is expanding across the country and looking to add to our sales and marketing team. America's Cannabis Conversation offers listeners insight and information on the exploding world of cannabis. It also gives advertisers the opportunity to reach a hyper-targeted audience, literally neighborhood by neighborhood, in markets all across the country. We're looking for a few motivated individuals that want to essentially run their own local business. To learn more about this exciting opportunity or to apply, visit americascannabisconversation.com.
Welcome to America's Cannabis Conversation. Today, our special guest is Carl Germano. Carl Germano, CNS-CBN, is Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer at Verdant Oasis, which produces high-quality phytocannabinoid-rich hemp oil products. Mr. Germano is an NY board-certified clinical nutritionist who provides product and business concepts, development and commercialization, reformulations and line extensions, assistance with research and claims, and market support for clients of Verdant Oasis. Verdant Oasis is a unique company that works with ancestral hemp genetics and geographically strategic European artisanal farms in a proprietary solvent-free extraction that produces Panoramic Entourage IP hemp oil. This is a vertically integrated grower and manufacturer of the highest quality phytocannabinoid-rich hemp oils and specialized dietary ingredients. They have unique end-to-end control of the entire process, which includes specialized plant genotypes, refined agricultural and farming practices, proprietary extraction methodology, and advanced post-extraction techniques. Verdant Oasis products are made in FSMA registered facilities and operated under strict HACCP and GMP controls. Carl Germano also authored the book Road to Ananda, Simple Guide to Endocannabinoid System, Hemp Phytocannabinoids, CBD, and Your Health. So we have a lot to talk about. So Carl, welcome to America's Cannabis Conversation.
Thank you, David, and it's a pleasure to be here.
We'd like to learn a little bit about Verdant Oasis and the Panoramic Entourage hemp oil. Tell us a little bit about that. A lot of people are going to be hearing about it for the first time, certainly not the many clients that you've managed to gather with the growing popularity of your product. But walk us through a little bit about it. It seems that you have your own unique production process and ultimately your own unique product. So tell us about the hemp oils that you all make.
Sure. Verdant Oasis is completely vertically integrated, meaning that they grow, they have their own seeds, they extract. So all aspects from the seed to the finished product is under their control, and that's very important. They are not only just vertically integrated, but they've made a concerted effort to bring to the marketplace legal mitigating, a lot of risk out there for questionable materials. And most recently, they were able to attain self-affirmed grass meaning generally recognized as safe, which is important for the food and beverage industries, as well as the dietary supplement industry. Now, this takes several years of running very extensive toxicology studies, and they followed the FDA's Red Book guidelines for these studies to show and to prove that the material is safe. And this is a very important concept because you can come to the marketplace and bring things to the marketplace, but FDA has jurisdiction over making sure that the material you bring to the market is safe. And they've been begging the industry, the hemp and cannabis industry, to prove their material is safe. And we're one of only maybe two other companies that have been able to do this. We're the only raw material company that's been able to do this, and quite proud of it. And so they work just like a pharmaceutical company in providing not only safe but very high quality materials. There's a lot of IP behind what they do in terms of, you know, providing a variety of different arrays of cannabinoids that are found in the plant. And I know everybody's focusing on CBD, but quite frankly, there's over 100 different phytocannabinoids. And what that means, phyto meaning coming from the plant, cannabinoids are these active lipid compounds that have extensive activity in the body. We learned about CBD. We know about THC and marijuana, but CBD is the most dominant phytocannabinoid in hemp. And we know CBD has a variety of important, clinically important roles in the body: pain, inflammation, stress, anxiety, insomnia, digestive, bone health. The list goes on and on of what this material does. But while CBD is one of 100, we cannot ignore the other 99 plus cannabinoids, CBG, CBC, it goes on and on and on. What we have learned and what's been published in the literature is to show that when you provide all of the family members, meaning that you have a true whole plant extract, it is clinically more effective than giving CBD alone. Now, this is not new to people like myself in clinical practice, practicing botanical medicine. We know that the sum of the whole plant is greater than any one single magic bullet being pulled out of there. And so our materials are whole plant materials that, yes, are high in CBD because CBD is the most dominant cannabinoid in the plant. But you've got the rest of the family present, a nice fingerprint of the plant, to give rise to more meaningful effects in the body. And so this, in a nutshell, is what Verdant Oasis is all about and what they produce and how different they are than most companies in the marketplace.
Most indeed, the holistic that you have. Yeah. You're non-GMO, you're organic, you have high standards for purity, you develop potency, and it is safe. For the sake of our listeners, please tell us, what is IP hemp oil?
Yeah, intellectual property, first and foremost. There is a distinct difference, obviously, between the genus and species Cannabis sativa. We know marijuana is Cannabis sativa, and we know also hemp is Cannabis sativa. But the plants are very different. They are different when you physically just look at them. Marijuana being short, squatty, broader leaf, hemp being much taller, 12 to 15 feet tall, fibrous plant, very narrow, thin leaves. So they look differently. Therefore, we know the genetics are differently. And as I mentioned before, THC is the dominant phytocannabinoid in marijuana, where CBD is the most dominant phytocannabinoid in hemp. So when we look at what comes into the marketplace, we have to come to terms with the fact that over the past 100 plus years, hemp has been really buried under the Controlled Substances Act and what have you, because it was treated as if it was marijuana, knowing that it's Cannabis sativa, knowing also that it's not going to get you intoxicated, it doesn't have enough THC, so forth and so on. Nevertheless, the government mistreated it for that long period of time. We couldn't cultivate it. We couldn't commercialize it. We couldn't study it. Meanwhile, Europe was light years ahead, and they were cultivating and researching it and doing all sorts of things. I'm saying this because the strains that we use to make our cannabinoid-rich hemp oils come from true industrial hemp and not from marijuana or marijuana hybrids. Now, I have nothing against marijuana or marijuana hybrids. The point being that from a legal standpoint, if you're going to call something a hemp extract, then it should come from true industrial hemp. And the words get convoluted at times. We only use EU Commission registered, certified industrial hemp strains. And what that means is that, as I mentioned before, Europe has been light years ahead of this country in cultivating and researching hemp. And the EU Commission has a website, and you'll see all of the registered true hemp strains. And this means in order to get on this list, you have to go through a five-year process of proving genetics, proving THC stability, so forth and so on. So it's a rigorous program. And when we come to the marketplace and call our materials true hemp extracts, it's quite different than what's happening here in the United States. And that is because we've been in the dark ages for over 100 years, you know, the marijuana industry has really taken over this sector, and that we now know, and there's two published papers to show that these high CBD strains that are being used genetically are marijuana. And that's no mystery to us. We understand that they've taken marijuana and they've married it with some aspects of hemp and to produce higher CBD strains and what have you. But there's no long history of safe use with these strains as opposed to industrial hemp, which has decades of safe use. And you can't really call it hemp. As a matter of fact, the USP has categorized cannabis in three categories. Class 1, THC dominant, that's marijuana. Class 2, THC CBD mixtures, marijuana hybrids. And then class 3, which is non-narcotic hemp. And that's where we have our materials. So it makes a big difference. It's truth in labeling. It's bringing to the consumer exactly what legally is called hemp. And again, all of the work that we do, we follow GMPs, good manufacturing practices, which means that every batch has got to get tested for pesticides, tested for heavy metals, tested for microbial contamination. And these are the norm of what should be done in the industry before you bring a material to a client. And that's what Verdant Oasis is and why we are so different than many companies out there.
Well, your farms and hemp oil are government regulated and third-party tested to ensure that the hemp oil is the purest and safest available. It's used in soft gels, cosmetics, food, and pet health. And you also produce a IP hemp oil powder that's used in beverage blends for sports and dietary plans or edibles and two-piece capsules and so much. So you're leading the way in technology as we're coming out of the dark ages. And I think that you're spearheading our catching up to Europe now that things are finally changing here in America. Where do people usually find the products that are produced by Verdant Oasis?
Yeah, there are a number of companies out there. Hemp Fusion is one of them. And then we've got companies in the medical sector like Thorn Research and Metagenics. So we're out there, and there are many companies that utilize us. And now that we have self-affirmed grass, it opens up the door more food and beverage companies. And I'm talking about the large, legitimate companies out there because they can only use grass materials. And again, grass in this sense doesn't refer to marijuana. GRAS stands for generally recognized as safe. And in order to get that, you have to run these extensive toxicology studies and get them published. And we have published ours in the reputable scientific journal called PLOS One last month.
Carl, you're not only using your scientific knowledge and experience to to be one of the driving members of Verdant Oasis, but you're also an author. I want to talk to you about Road to Ananda, Simple Guide to the Endocannabinoid System, Hemp Phytocannabinoids, CBD, and Your Health. I'm rather fascinated by the title, Road to Ananda. Ananda, is that Hindu for bliss?
Yes. Well, Ananda is the word in Sanskrit that refers to bliss and blissful state. And certainly bliss can be achieved by a number of things that we do in our life, eating well, meditating, doing yoga, and there's various techniques. But Road to Ananda, really what I was trying to do is tell people that the road to inner bliss from a physiological standpoint happens to be dealt with by supporting the body's endocannabinoid system, or ECS. Now, the ECS has been in our body since the beginning of time. It's a massive series of receptors all over the body, over every organ system, receptors that accept cannabinoids. So I tell the whole world, hey, you're going to just have to get over it. Your body feeds off cannabinoids. You cannot be healthy without them. And so much so, when you look at all these receptors, you ask the question, well, all these receptors in the body, there must be something the body's producing to hit these receptors. And in the late 1990s, Dr. Rafael Mashulam and his colleagues have discovered not only the inner workings of the endocannabinoid system, but the fact that we produce two cannabinoids. One is called anandamide, and the other called 2-AG or 2-arachidonyl glycerol. The point of the matter is the first cannabinoid that they discovered, anandamide, why did they call it anandamide? Well, again, they used that prefix ananda, which means bliss, and why they called this first cannabinoid blissful is because it hits the same receptors that THC hits in the brain that causes intoxication. Now, anandamide is nowhere near as potent as THC, but without a doubt, anandamide affects our mood in terms of anxiety and depression and what have you. And by the way, we've all been taught that the runner's high, what makes you euphoric after you do strenuous activity, is due to endorphins. Well, we dismantled that years ago by finding out that when you go through extensive and types of exercise, the amount of anandamide is increased. This is what gives you the euphoric feeling and the mood-changing alterations. And so we look at the fact, getting back to the endocannabinoid system, that all these receptors on every organ system, and we produce these cannabinoids that hit these receptors, and they have applications in pain, inflammation, stress, anxiety, bone building, insomnia, digestive health, all over. You get to understand that the endocannabinoid system is the most important physiological system in the body that controls all other physiological functions. So it is the master regulator in the body. And quite frankly, from a global perspective, we know that the endocannabinoid system controls health, well-being, and balance, what we call homeostasis. Now, that's at the global level. At the organ level, all the things I've rattled off before, it has control over, and like, again, pain, inflammation, stress, anxiety, and what have you. So the endocannabinoid system is a physiological system that we must embrace, we must understand. This way we understand why we take CBD or other cannabinoids that are coming to the marketplace, like CBG and CBC and what have you. These are important because they help nourish the endocannabinoid system. And we also have learned that there are medical conditions that are reflective of endocannabinoid deficiency states, meaning we don't produce enough of these cannabinoids that were discovered, anandamide and 2-AG. And when that happens, we see clear associations with things like irritable bowel syndrome, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. And the list goes on, the neurodegenerative and inflammatory conditions. So we now know that when people don't get enough cannabinoids, either they don't produce enough, there are certain conditions that are associated with them. So how best do we treat these people? We look at the fact that we need to now provide cannabinoids to these people, and the best source is through the diet. Called out phytocannabinoids, meaning cannabinoids from plants. You know, one of the other things people need to get over the fact is that we've been eating phytocannabinoids since the beginning of time. Carrots, hops, chocolate, echinacea, thyme, rosemary. There are numerous foods that have very minute levels of these cannabinoids in them. But we know for a fact that hemp is very rich and abundant in cannabinoids, and it becomes the primary food and target to make extracts to provide to people to nourish their endocannabinoid system. So the road to Ananda, the road to inner bliss, is based upon us maintaining and nourishing this endocannabinoid system so we can stay healthy and ward off a lot of certain conditions associated with low cannabinoid content. And this was the initial step to help to educate consumers because, quite frankly, the travesty and the tragedy behind all of this is that in medical school, in college, in high school, biology, whatever, physiology, we haven't been teaching about the endocannabinoid system. And the reason being is because of the stigma attached to cannabinoids and cannabis and marijuana, for that matter. And so it's been a travesty and a tragedy that you can interfere with education because of the stupidity behind how we used to perceive cannabinoids for human beings. Well, this book is the first step to help understand the importance of this system, why we need to understand it, why we need to address it in nutrition protocols, and why it needs to be taught in school from high school on up.
We're finding more and more how the body is naturally receptive to the effects of CBD and so forth. And nature provides us with the plant that we can have natural extracts that work well with the body. You mentioned Dr. Raphael Mosholem. He's considered the father of cannabinoid medicine. He wrote the introduction for your book, did he not? So you basically tell the story, and we are coming out of the dark ages, as you say, and your research is there. Carl, where is your book available? Where can people find your book?
Oh, you can get it probably on Amazon and what have you. You know, I write books not to make money, but I write books to get the information out and to educate. You know, I'm a board-certified clinical nutritionist by trade, and so, you know, seeing patients, you can only see one patient across your desk at a time. When you write books, you're reaching, you know, thousands to maybe millions of people to educate them, and this is more important to me than the financial aspect to it. And so, you know, it's on my website also, carlgermano.com. That's my consulting website. But it's out there in the trade. You know, the trade, the health food trade has been very rewarding because this is a trade where consumers desperately want information, desperately want to educate themselves. And so these books become a vehicle for spreading that education because they're not getting it from the medical community. They're not getting it in school. And so, you know, it serves that kind of purpose.
Well, I got an education just by viewing your website at verdantoasis.com because you have the technology laid out in simple, easy-to-understand way that is really quite informative. I mean, I'm learning just talking to you. With all the people that we've had on this show, it really is fascinating that there's always more to learn from people who have researched this and have developed products that are beneficial in so many ways that we're ever discovering. So I thank you for coming on our show, telling us a little bit about your company and what it's all about, for putting the information out there, for being an author that's helping to inform us. We have a lot to learn, and we're going to keep on learning because we're on a natural trajectory now that the restrictions are being less confined, the benefits of such a natural product that helps us in so many ways. Carl Germano of Verdant Oasis, I thank you for coming to America's Cannabis Conversation and having a talk with us.
Thank you, David. Appreciate the opportunity. Be well.
This is David Katzmeier from America's Cannabis Conversation. You can find this interview and more at W420RadioNetwork.com. Thanks for listening.
W420RadioNetwork.com.